In the story of Joseph, we see a powerful example for us of faith, of courage, and of commitment.
Proclaiming God's love and truth for you and your family. Wonder Lake Bible Church.
You know, we've been hearing the story of Christmas. We've heard the story of the gospel, the good news. What is the gospel, the good news? Well, first, the bad news is what? That we were lost. We were dead in sin and transgression. There was no hope for us. We were under the condemnation of God for our sin. But God, who is rich in mercy and love, came into this world, took our sin upon himself, that we might be forgiven and have life. We're hearing now the Christmas story from the perspective of three persons, from Mary and Joseph and Jesus. We're telling the story of Christmas by telling their stories. We've heard the story of Mary, and we have asked ourselves, what was in the heart of Mary? Well, today we're going to look at Joseph and ask ourselves, what was in the heart of Joseph? And I want to encourage you to come tomorrow night because we're going to tell the story of Jesus. And then we'll conclude with our story, my story, and your story. Now, there's an expression, some of you know, we've all heard it before. Again, when someone says to you and me, when they say, don't take it personally, what do? We take it personally, right? Well, this time, I do want you to do that this morning for me. I want you to take it personally. Take this story personally, because this story is about hope for you. In the story of Joseph, we see a powerful example for us of faith, of courage, and of commitment. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew? The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Matthew, who was one of Jesus' disciples, one of the apostles, later wrote this gospel, this story of Jesus Christ. And here's what he says about the birth of Jesus. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. What is the story of Joseph? Well, he was a man who lived in a small town called Nazareth. He was a carpenter, and at some point his parents had arranged for him to be married to a young woman named Mary. The scripture tells us that they were betrothed. We said, what is betrothal? Well, it's a very powerful form of engagement. It first starts then where the parents would arrange this marriage, and then when the time came, there would be a public statement of commitment saying that this man and this woman are to be joined together. They were betrothed then. And they were legally considered husband and wife at that point. They would be called that, but they would not consummate their wedding just yet. They would live apart for a time. And then about a year later then, unannounced, the husband would come for his wife, and he would take her into his home where then they would live together and make their family, make their home. Now at this time, he is working his business. He's established a home. He's betrothed to Mary. What do you suppose was in his heart at that time? Was it anticipation, excitement, and joy about this life that was before him? We know that he was a righteous and just man, too, the Scripture tells us. So I'm sure he was honoring God. He was praising God for his life to come. I'm sure he had eager hopes and expectations for his life, just like all of us have had. But you know, a funny thing happened on the way to Joseph and Mary's married life together. God had other plans for them. Has that ever happened to you? God has had other plans for you, and he invaded your world and your plans and shook things up. God invaded, and Joseph was told a story, frankly, that was hard to believe. That here his wife, his intended Mary, who comes to him, saying she is a virgin, but yet she is pregnant. Did any of you find that hard to believe? What do you suppose was in the heart of Joseph then? Bitter disappointment? His heart was broken, I'm sure, but just as God had invaded the world of Mary, he came into the life of Joseph. He sent him a message, a divine message. See, Joseph, because he was a righteous man, he was determined to do the right thing, and the right thing, as he saw, is he said, well, I cannot go through with this marriage because of Mary's apparent adultery. But God had other plans. And he intervened and he communicated with Joseph in a dream that everything Mary had said was true. The child that was in her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. That he was to be the Holy One, the Righteous One, the Messiah, the one who would save his people from their sins. And he, Joseph, he was to take Mary as his wife, to bring her into his home. But they would have no union until after Jesus was born. He was told he was to care for her. He was to care for Mary, and he would serve as the earthly father of the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Now, what do you suppose was in the heart of Joseph then? I'm sure there was great relief that this story of Mary is true, but then he's told, well, wait a minute, if this is true, this is earth-shattering, isn't it? Earth-shattering news. And by the way, Joseph, you're going to be the earthly father of the Son of God. And you're going to raise him and teach him the Word of God. And he will be the great Messiah, the ruler of all the earth. And you're going to be his earthly father, Joseph. No pressure, right? I'm sure he felt that. Well, Luke tells us that Joseph and Mary had to travel to Bethlehem, the town of David. It was their ancestral home, in order to register for a Roman census. And while there, Mary gave birth to Jesus. Angels appeared to shepherds in a field nearby. And then these shepherds came to see this baby who had come to bring peace between God and sinful human beings. Now, what do you suppose was in the heart of Joseph then? Was he excited by this announcement, the appearance of these shepherds, and saying, your son, this baby that has just been born, he is going to bring peace between God and human beings. Because Joseph was a righteous man, a just man, he followed the law in requiring the fulfillments of the law and going to the temple, where Mary followed a purification ceremony, and they also then offered a sacrifice. And while they were there, they met a prophet who told them that their son would cause the fall and the rising of many in Israel. Their son would reveal the hearts of many. But because of what happens to their son, a sword would pierce Mary's heart also. What do you suppose was in the heart of Joseph then? Amazement and wonder, and yet questions, though, too, right? How is this to be? This is joy. This is great news, wonderful news. The Savior has been born. He's going to be the King of Israel, this great Messiah we've been waiting for. But now you're telling us we're going to be devastated. My wife is going to be devastated by something that happens to him. Matthew then tells us that magi, wise men, came to see Jesus. They had seen his star in the east, and they came then to worship him. Matthew says this. He says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.' And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' And then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them the time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.' And after listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him. And then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." These magi were wise men. They were scholars. They were kingmakers from the east, probably Babylon or Persia. This star that appeared in the sky indicated to them that there was a new king, a king of the Jews who had been born. And so they set out towards Jerusalem to find this king, likely arriving about a year after Jesus had been born. And their coming shows that Jesus came into the world to save all people, not just the Jews, all people. Herod, the king of the Jews, he was called Herod the Great because he had achieved a great deal politically. He was responsible for a great many impressive building projects, including the temple complex in Rome, or in Jerusalem, that was even larger than the temple in the days of King Solomon, some 800 years earlier. But Herod was also infamous. He was so paranoid of any threats to his rule that he murdered anyone he perceived as a threat, including his own wife and several of his sons. And so when these magi came from the east to see the new king of the Jews, all Jerusalem was troubled along with him. Why? Because they were afraid of what he was going to do and what might happen to them. So the star directed the magi to a house in Bethlehem where Joseph and Mary were staying with Jesus. They brought gifts fit for a king, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And what do you suppose was in the heart of Joseph then, when these wise men came from the east and presented these gifts fit for a king? As we said, Jerusalem was troubled, and they had good reason, because Herod would tolerate no threat to his rule. So he sent out an order to have all male children 2 years old and under slaughtered in the vicinity of Bethlehem, because he would not tolerate this threat. And so then, once again, God communicated with Joseph through a dream, and he warned him to take Jesus and Mary to Egypt in order to escape the wrath of a jealous king, Herod. Now, what do you suppose was in the heart of Joseph then? Was he afraid? Was he fearful for the life of his son? Sure he was. But he was also a man of faith and confident in God and obedient in what God had told him to do. After some time, Herod died, and Joseph journeyed back to his hometown of Nazareth along with Jesus and Mary. He established his home and his new life. Other children were born to them. He taught Jesus his trade of carpentry. What do you suppose was in the heart of Joseph then? What was that like, teaching the Son of God the Word of God? You know, one more story about the life of Joseph that's recorded in the Scriptures. We know that they would go to Jerusalem every year to celebrate the Passover. And one year they went when Jesus was about 12 years old, and they had gone there, and the time came to go home, and when they left, Jesus was left behind. Not the same meaning as that series of books, but he remained behind in the temple, talking to the teachers of the law there, and I'm sure instructing them in the law. Jesus was almost an adult. He was 12 years old, and when he turned 13, he was an adult. He was a legal adult. They discovered he was missing, and they went back to find him, and they were in great distress. And Jesus famously said to them, what? Didn't you know I need to be about my Father's business? I must be in my Father's house. Luke says they did not understand what he spoke to them. But he went with them, and they came to Nazareth, and he was submissive to them. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. What do you suppose was in the heart of Joseph then? Well, Joseph then disappears from the biblical record. It's likely that he died a short time after that temple visit when Jesus was 12. It's likely then, too, that Jesus then cared for his mother and his half-siblings until he began his public ministry at about the age of 30. Well, we've been asking questions, what is in the heart of Joseph? You know what I see? I think there are many things that we could talk about this man and his example for us this morning, but first off, we see his faith. He was put in extraordinary circumstances, but he responded with faith and obedience. He did what God told him to do. Did he understand everything that God had told him? No, he didn't, clearly. But he responded with faith and obedience. He did what he clearly knew he was told to do. I think there was courage in his heart as well. Because even though he knew that God had made these promises, there were real threats against him and his family, his young son. But he responded with courage. And don't you think it took some courage to raise the Son of God? Any parents, you find it a little scary, the task of parenting? How would you like this? You know that God has chosen you to raise his son. We see commitment in his heart then too. That he followed through on all that he was to do as the earthly father of Jesus Christ. And you ask yourself, so what? Well, that's a wonderful story. You know, I've heard this story before. What does this have to do with me this morning? Well, I would ask us just a few questions. We saw the faith of Joseph, how he responded with faith and obedience. And I wonder, have you faith this morning? Have you placed your faith in the Savior, Jesus Christ? He came into the world in order that we might be delivered from our sin, that we might be delivered from the judgment for all that we have done wrong, for all of the violations of God's moral law. All of us in our heart know that there must be justice, don't we? We desire justice. We're eager for justice. But usually if it just means justice against others, those who've wounded us or wounded our family, we want justice. But the reality is there is indeed a just judge of all the earth. And if he's going to give justice to those people, there's justice for us too. There's justice for our sin. But Jesus came in order that we might be delivered from the judgment of God. And so he punished Jesus in our place. Jesus perfectly obeyed the law of God for us. And then he was punished for our sin. He died, he was buried, and he rose again in order that we might rise to new life as well. Have you placed your faith in the Savior? That's the true story of Christmas, the Savior. And I wonder then, too, then you say, you know, I do believe, I've put my trust in him, but I wonder, do you trust God? Do you trust God even when things seem impossible? Do you think that was hard for Joseph to believe Mary? It sure was. In fact, he didn't at first, did he? He didn't at first. But God communicated truth to him, and then he acted on it in faith. Belief. He acted, he showed faith then from then on out. Not that he always understood things, not that there weren't moments of concern, I'm sure. I'm sure he felt heavily the burden that was put upon him. But he trusted God even when things seem impossible. Is there something that just seems impossible in your life now? I don't know if God can do that. Can God rescue me? Can God deliver me? The answer is, it's the same thing that he told Mary, which was what? Nothing is impossible with God. Everything is possible with God. So then I'd ask then finally then, boy, that's all really good news, isn't it? That's a lot to be thankful for. That's a lot to rejoice in. And so I would ask, are you rejoicing then today? Are you rejoicing in your Savior here this morning? Giving thanks that he has been born. Giving thanks that through him is life, is forgiveness and life eternal. Giving thanks that through him everything is possible. Rejoice and give thanks then to our Lord this morning. Let's pray. Father, what an amazing, amazing truth this is. That Jesus Christ was born for us, left his throne and his glory, humbled himself, became obedient, obedient servant, obedient even to the point of death, even death on a cross. He was raised, and one day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so for this then, Lord, we give thanks and we praise your holy name. We rejoice in you this morning. Amen.